Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. My name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the host of the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast and the founder of the Rise Above Justice Movement. Today, October 1st, begins National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I am joined by one of the most inspirational and beautiful human beings, Joy Hoover, aka Joy for the People, and founder of SOS Cosmetics and a number of other things. We met during the election, and instantly I felt connected to the work that Joy does. And I would also like to give a viewer discretion as advised due to the nature of the context and the topics that we will be discussing during this podcast episode. Without further ado, Joy, welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And let's dive right in. And you have the brightest personality, the energy, and just this inspiring aura of energy that just surrounds you, and you bring it in everything that you do. So walk us through who Joy is, what inspired you to create SOS Cosmetics, and yeah, just walk us through who's Joy?
Thank you so much.
Joy for the people.
Thank you. I need to walk around with you everywhere with all those kind words. I appreciate you. But yeah, so we moved to Las Vegas. My husband and I just celebrated 20 years of marriage. So when I say we, I mean him and I. We moved here just almost 16 years ago and immediately started serving the community. We started going into the homeless tunnels to sit with the folks that were living there. We started going into strip clubs and legal brothels to spend time with the folks there. My background's hair and makeup, so just sit and do hair and makeup and listen and learn from the community. And what we started seeing over and over is this vast amount of violence, violence that was impacting their lives, oftentimes making them homeless or creating some extreme amounts of trauma. And there was really not a lot of resources available for them, specifically resources without any sort of judgment or any sort of expectations. So we immediately started, literally, I would show up, hair and makeup, connect with people, and they would say, "Hey, I need a dentist. I haven't seen a dentist in 10 years and I have an abscess in my mouth." Someone else would bring, someone to us who had just experienced sexual assault or some sort of domestic violence, or they were, experienced violence from their pimp, things like that. And so I learned very quickly early on. I was only 23 years old. I learned about domestic violence, sexual assault, and trafficking through the people that we served. And I had my own experiences before that, but I always pushed my own experiences aside, acting like it was no big deal, and just, jumped into serving other people. And so we were doing this work from 2010. And for 3 years, we were just, pedal to the metal, just serving as many clients as we could and making sure people were safe and being that phone call in the middle of the night or that TBO restraining order that was needed. And then it became very personal to us because on April 10th, 2013, I had just had our first daughter, Vivian. She was 8 days old, and we got a phone call that my father-in-law had just shot and killed my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, and himself. And in fact, my mother-in-law's final words on a 911 phone call were, "Help, he just shot my son and he's coming after me." And let's take a breath for a minute because I know that's really heavy information and it changed the trajectory of our entire lives. You can't experience that and not feel like your whole world is crashing in. And here we are in Las Vegas, and we are the first phone call for so many people, and we cannot help her. We cannot keep her safe. And so that really started just put e an even greater fire underneath us of, navigating and really digging into our own stories. My husband experienced domestic violence his whole life, his whole childhood. And looking at the signs of the violence, one thing that we know with domestic violence is that if You are, we you can say strangled, but I use the words if there is pressure around your neck without consent, you have an 800% more chance of your partner taking your life in domestic violence. And we started to see those type of things where Phil would remember certain things that he remembered about his the violence that he saw his dad put his hands on his mom. And then my own story of experiencing drink spiking two different times and sexual assault in a few different ways. We started just really digging into our own stories, but then working in healing and therapy, those and to start really digging into how can we provide as many resources as possible. And so we did that work until 2021, so almost 12 years, and served over 10,000 people. We were the first phone call, and we were able to save people's lives, and we were able to step in before violence was, more lives were taken by violence. And I'm really, really proud of the work that we did and the community that we built it with. And then I really started leaning into, okay, we're getting these calls right before it's too late. What if we started preventing violence, and how could we do that? And so in 2022, I came up with the concept of SOS Cosmetics, which the original idea was a lipstick that could test your drink. So I had drink spiking tests in it. And I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the nail polish that you were supposed to be able to dip your finger in and it changed color if it was drugged. Well, interestingly enough, when we were looking at patents and things with my attorney early on in building SOS, I found that product and I reached out to the scientist that had built the product. And I was like, hey, I see what you guys are doing. I would love to, work with you on it. And I found out that that product had never been to market. And that when they were showing the product, they were showing heat changing nail polish, not drug changing nail polish. And so I was like so disappointed that, wow, like I thought like at least there was that on the market, but there's literally nothing on the market that was testing drinks that was easy to use and sort of a cosmetic feature. And then that was really able to prevent drug facilitated sexual assault and violence. And that is when I pursued that scientist for 8 months until he became my scientist because I was like, we have to build this. And so I invented a lipstick that has a specialty space in it that holds test strips that keeps the accuracy of the strips, and then tech that connects to an app. So with a push of a button on your lipstick, you can send a text message, you can do a phone call, you can send your exact location coordinates, which update every 10 seconds, and you can contact authorities to be priority dispatched to your location. And the work of building that was kind of crazy. I'm not a scientist or an engineer, so I had to build a team around me to build that. But it was really revolutionary in the way that we got it into our hands for the first time with our prototype in at the end of 2022. So about a it took us about a year to fully develop the prototype. And at the end of 2022, on what would have been my mother-in-law's 72nd birthday, we tested the product in front of a whole group of investors and community members to show the push of a button and how that could have helped. And immediately, as we tested that, my husband and we just got super emotional because we're like, what could this have done for her? How could this have saved her life? Could she have been able to push the button early or even have education around violence that she really knew she was a victim or and a survivor, but she had no idea. And one thing's if you're listening to this and you're someone who understands domestic violence or maybe you're starting to learn more about it. One of the things that we've learned over the years in trafficking and sexual and domestic violence is that survivors are often the last to know. And the reason that is because perpetrators are really good at what they do. And I call them career criminals. They have an ability to gaslight and to make you feel crazy enough to believe that everything that's happening to you is either your fault, one, or two, is not really happening to you. And so what we saw over and over in the work in the nonprofit that we are serving thousands of survivors in, and then in this movement here with SOS, is we needed to educate and build community and resources and support and trust around people so that we could start helping them identify their own violence and helping them, give them the tools to be safe and to leave if they needed to, and to be able to have access to resources that they could really rebuild their lives. But SOS was created because we thought, well, we know that if violence happens, you can heal. And we see people heal. We served tons and tons of survivors. And survivors, to me, are literally the most tenacious, courageous humans on the planet. Like, I've never learned more from survivors. And obviously I am one myself. And so I just am so impressed with how they continue to push forward, even in the hardest times and the darkest moments. But we thought, what if they didn't have to go through that? Because we know that you can heal, but you're never whole. The violence can stop, but the bruises, even the emotional bruises, will always be there. And so how can we prevent it so that you're not having to experience it first? And that's what I'm so proud of with SOS Cosmetics. And I wanted to share a story because I actually won last year. I won Top Tech of the Year here in Las Vegas, which was just such an honor to win that for the technology I invented. But I got a call from the company that nominated me that gave me the award. And they were letting me know that I had won the award. Well, as they were calling, I had a woman in my home, in my front door, who was just experienced domestic violence, had years of experiencing domestic violence, and had a high profile partner that she was leaving. And she was extremely, extremely scared. And we know that violence often increases significantly when people leave. So the question of why didn't she leave is a very silly question, because 78% of women whose lives are taken by violence, it's after they leave. It's not while they're still there. And so she was really scared. And so I'm standing with this woman literally, and she looks up at me and she goes, "Can you take pictures of the bruises on my body for the police?" And so I start taking pictures, knowing how to do it because I've done it a lot in my years of work. And then I proceed to set up the SOS lipstick on her phone and show her how to push the button, how to send location, how to get priority dispatch authorities to where she is. And she just looks up at me, and she heard the phone call come through, and she just looks up like teary eyed. And she was like, "I know why you won that. Like, this is so amazing. This is really going to help keep me safe." And those are the moments, right? That push, when you push through all of the hardship and all of the difficulties with building a company, whether it's fundraising or building a team or, being a lot of negative people wondering, like, you know, pushing against, like, this will never work or you'll never be able to do it. All the people, you know, that said, "Why would anyone need this lipstick?" Which we know is just a silly question. But those were the moments for me. And that is why I'm so proud to stand in this movement alongside amazing folks like Zachary and his community and his team. Because when we work together and when we get innovative and when we truly look at solutions to prevent versus just aftercare, that is how we shift the movement, and that's how we shift violence and how we end the epidemic of gender-based violence. And the thing is, we know that we're never going to stop it completely, but ending the epidemic would mean that right now violence is increasing by an average of 2.9% every single year. And so it's not getting better. And the statistics are already that 1 in 3 women experience violence nationwide. And I believe it's 1 in 10 men. So this, you know, and with men, the statistic is very young. It starts very young at 12 years old. And we know children are impacted by sexual and domestic violence at higher rates every year as well. And so What we need to do is continue to come together and say, this is not okay with us. And we are going to stand in the gap. And we need survivors' voices in the movement to show how you can really change the epidemic and how you can change the trajectory, not only of your life, but of the lives around you. And that is exactly what I'm doing and proud to continue to do alongside amazing humans like Zachary.
Joy, whatever your name, it literally fits everything that you are. And your own invention literally saved your home. And this was back whenever, right before, because your home caught fire.
Yep.
And this was in July of 2024, per your soscosmetics.com.
Yep.
And on there it says, my own invention saved our home. In July of 2024, Joy's SOS tech-enabled lipstick became more than a safety tool. It saved her home. When a fire broke out, she used the lipstick to contact emergency services. Thanks to its priority dispatch feature, Las Vegas Fire and Rescue received her exact location and arrived on the scene within just 6 minutes.
Yep. Yep.
That is a tragedy turned. How would you word that? What's the best way to phrase that? Like, it's a tragedy
Yeah.
turned, like, also like a life-saving, like, we know that
Yeah.
this lipstick is saving lives because
Yeah,
it's more than
absolutely.
just a lipstick, Joy.
Yeah, absolutely. I have chills as you say that because I remember the night of the fire we got. After priority dispatch firefighters, they put the fire out, and we got a message from our partnership, our emergency services partner, that said, you push the button at this time. 6 minutes later, fire arrived on scene. We're checking in to see how you're doing, and I like just started crying because I was like, I didn't invent this lipstick to save my home, but it did. It saved my home and saved our family to make sure that we were safe and we could get out in time. And it was interesting because when the firefighters arrived on scene, they showed us where the fire was blazing so fast in our attic that they said it was maybe 10 minutes, that if they hadn't come and arrived on scene, that our house wouldn't have been able to be saved and our roof would have caved in. And so, yeah,
Wow.
it's chilling, to be honest, to think of that. But then it's also this kind of like tragedy to triumph, right? Where it's like, something that I was able to build was able to, keep us safe. And that is why I built it. Ultimately, my two daughters and my, we're ending generational violence in our family and in others. That's, to me, there's nothing better than knowing that what we built is works and saved us and continues to help keep other people safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I admire that. I have this deep admiration for the work that you do. I cannot say it enough that I talk about you literally to everybody that I possibly can because people need to see the positiveness. People need to see, especially in like the society now and like the way that we see sexual and gender-based violence. We hear a lot of the Jeffrey Epstein survivors. Deeply courageous to come out against a very powerful individual. But we have people like Jeffrey Epstein that are still within our communities now.
Yep,
And
absolutely.
that's the reality of it. And you're getting ready, or you've already launched a new path forward for you. And I'm excited, and I'm literally like shaking as I'm sitting here, like thinking about it in a really good way. Do you want to kind of tell people what's next for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I decided, well, in 5 weeks I announced, I decided that I was going to run for Congress in Nevada's first district. And that is, people are like, wait, what? Like the Congress? It's US Congress, and I've never ran for office before, but obviously I served my community as a public servant for almost 16 years. And passed legislation for trafficking survivors and violence. And I have been, stepping into the work of serving my community. And this has just felt like the next right step. I've been asked for years, you should run for office, you should run for office. And I'm like, no. I never really saw the value in it because there is so much corruption and there's so much, I think, power that's used not for the people. And so I never really wanted to jump in the arena, but like Zach mentioned, we met, working in this space and working to, get Kamala Harris elected and to get safety in spaces where it was desperately needed within the White House and within our community. And I saw survivors on a stage at the DNC for the first time ever. And I was like, wow, look what can happen when we step up and share our stories and when we do really hard things. And so this is the hardest thing I have ever done. I am going up against an incumbent who has been in politics for 37 years. And she's 75. She's been in the seat for 14 years. And she's done a lot of good work. And I think I can take the baton and represent where our district is now. So the average age of our district is 39. And let me say that again. So the average age of our district is 39. And I launched my campaign the night before my 39th birthday. And we have been leaning heavily into this concept of representing the people, right? And so what that looks like for me is I live in a district where we have a significant amount of young families. And so I understand what it's like to raise a family on one income, to raise a family with no community or no family support out here. I understand what it feels like to not know where my kids are going to sleep for a night when we were displaced for 419 days from the fire. And as well as so many other things, like we rented for 11 years before we were able to buy a home here in the district with a tax credit. That was the only reason we could. I needed Medicaid to fall back on when my lungs got impacted by the fire and we lost everything and had nothing to fall back on. And so there's so many things that I can look at our district and the needs of our community that I not only can say, hey, I care about that, but I can say, hey, I have experienced that. I know what it feels like to struggle. And I empathize with you and will fight like hell for all of us to have safer schools, safer streets, safer homes, to make sure that everyone has economic opportunity and socioeconomic resources so that our basic needs are met. And I am very fired up and passionate about it because this is the work I've been doing for almost 16 years in the community, is that the people, the most marginalized communities in Las Vegas, Henderson, and Nevada surrounding areas, and even nationwide, who didn't have access to dental or legal or financial or education or workforce, we stepped up and figured out a way to bridge those gaps and to give millions of dollars in resources and support away. And that is what I'm excited to bring to Congress, because there are people struggling in our community more in this district than any other district. 28% of our two of our areas in East and West Las Vegas are faltering on their mortgages. And we have a 35% Hispanic population, higher Black population. I mean, this is a very diverse district, diverse in age and race and in experiences. And as well as a lot of small business owners and union workers that are literally lifting up and building our community. So I am incredibly passionate about stepping in and linking arms with our community and doing that block by block and really building out not only this campaign with this district and with this community, but also when I get to Washington, D.C., being the voice for all of us and listening in to hear what the community wants on the bills that we'll write and the bills that we'll vote on, because it is about all of us. And these positions in politics oftentimes do not represent the people and oftentimes it feels so out of touch. And that's why almost over half Congress are millionaires, because it's extremely expensive. It's extremely difficult to run campaigns and get to the White House, but then to sustain that and to really be able to listen to the people and vote on things with the people versus special interest groups or, you know, people that gave you the most money to fund your campaign. And I'm doing things so differently because I'm representing and being responsible to the people, not to the highest bidder, not to organizations like AIPAC or other PACs that do a lot of harm and expect things in return that are not healthy for the majority of community. And so I'm excited to bring this to Congress. And I'm also terrified, right? This journey has like been so hard, but it's worth it if it saves more lives. It's worth it if it makes more people safer and more stable in their everyday life.
Absolutely. You know, I'm looking at your website, joyforenvy.com, and you have your priorities listed. And one of the ones that, you know, the very first one that literally caught my attention was a place to call home. As a renter myself, I know the rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
And that's here in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Missouri. So obviously it's like different battles, right? And,
yep.
But all in all, the rent is too damn high. And they think that capping the rent at $1,000 a month is doable for a single family. That is incorrect.
Yeah.
And because I think about those single moms that, you know, have children and they're working at a restaurant job and they literally rely on their tips, $1,000 a month, they literally have to work like 60 hours a week at like a $2.35 an hour wage.
Yeah.
Like that, it's obviously not doable. And then I also think about safer schools, safer homes, safer streets. I automatically think about children going to school and having to face a severe consequence of gun violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we hear about thoughts and prayers every time a mass shooting happens. Look at the most recent one at a Catholic church slash school in Minneapolis. They were literally at a mass service and some did not walk away from that.
Yep.
And, you know, thinking also about strong schools, debt-free futures, and real economic opportunity, clean air, safe water, and affordable energy. Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean drinking water.
Right.
Yep. And strengthening democracy, protecting Nevada, strengthening America. So this is literally the true America First, is literally what this is.
Yeah.
And this is the true definition of a platform that is for the people, by the people, and literally joy for the people. Bringing joy back into politics is exactly what is needed. And because politics gets to be a very ugly space and it gets to be very, very deep and dark. Mm-hmm. But I think it doesn't have to be. It really does not have to be.
Yeah.
And the freedom to decide, and I'm going to read this out loud. Freedom to decide. I trust women and families to make the decisions that are best for them. Healthcare isn't one size fits all. And politicians have no place making choices about someone else's body or future. Every Nevadan, did I say it right?
Mm-hmm, good job. Nailed it.
Every Nevadan deserves the ability to plan their family, protect their health, and make these private decisions with their doctors, not the government.
Yeah.
That's quite the statement. And it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think some of these issues seem complicated or have been complicated, but they're not. At the end of the day, it's about dignity. It's about opportunity. It's about safety. And every single one of my priorities align with those core values, but they do it, like you said, with joy. And you know, it's interesting. I never loved my name. I used to want to change my name growing up, and I've never loved it more now that I'm in politics, because like joy for the people, like truly bringing joy, because the people deserve joy, and essentially being able to bring kind of this joyful, hopeful force to Las Vegas and Henderson and Nevada and to work together with the people to listen to the needs of the community and to really show up for them. And that's what my platform's all about. At the end of the day, I'm not a politician. I'm literally a mom, a community organizer, and a human who gives a shit. And to me, that's baseline. Giving a shit about other humans is baseline. But unfortunately, we live in a world today where there's a lot of me first instead of community first. And that's what I think is one of the biggest concerns about our politics. And that is why you mentioned one of my priorities being a government that works for all of us. That's why one of my priorities is term limits and some, a lot more transparency around financials, because we cannot allow our government officials to be literally getting rich off the work that we're doing every day to get them elected and then to build this community and to build the community for them to succeed while other people in our district can barely make rent. That to me is just, it's horribly sad, and it's so deeply disconcerting, and there's not a lot being done about it. And so I was just like, you know what? We are the ones we've been waiting for. We can't continue to wait for people to be and do what we need them to do. We have to step up and do it. And those of us that know and understand the struggle, there's no better than us, than millennials and Gen Z to step up and say, we're going to be the change that our community needs. Because if we don't, then who? One. And two, if we don't, people are going to lose their lives at higher rates. There's nothing like that's not like a scare tactic. That's reality. People cannot continue in the way this is. We know when socioeconomic issues increase, violence increases. That's a stat. When we know when there's more guns on the streets, violence increases. Domestic violence at home increases. Violence in schools increases. And so if we are really going to fight the epidemic of domestic violence, of gender-based violence, we need to get to the core of socioeconomic resources for our community, because our community demands that we do something more for them. If we don't step up and do more, they can't continue to be. And everyone deserves the right to live with dignity, opportunity, and safety. And to do that with joy and this kind of discipline of hope, that's what it's all about for me.
Yes, yes, and yes. And Domestic Violence Awareness Month means something different than just wearing purple and seeing organizations post on social media. Don't get me wrong, visibility is key, right? But to those who have experienced domestic violence and as survivors, it has a deeper meaning because it means that, oh, domestic violence is going to be on the headlines. Because we know that oftentimes these stories do not reach those headlines. And mainstream media likes to censor a lot of survivors' voices. We've seen that. And we hear about it on a daily basis. And again, I think about your platform, Joy, and I think about the platform with the Rise of Justice movement and think about how aligned we literally are. Because these are not only going to help survivors, they'll just help your everyday person, like my mom, who's going through a cancer battle. They will help people who are unhoused, living on the streets. And these are the policies that puts the true America first and
Absolutely.
puts the people over profit and over corporations. You understand. You've lived through it, you've seen it, and in the work and advocacy that you've done, it's unbelievable about how you do it. And I'm mind blown and I get tongue twisted because it's just so incredible to see somebody come literally rise from the ashes, go through the unimaginable, because house fires are not easy to go through, literally at all.
Definitely.
And then also, the story of your mother-in-law. So obviously that is something that is deeply devastating that happened and completely avoidable, right?
Absolutely.
And I know you hear from survivors probably on a daily basis. And the last question I have for you, Joy, is if there was a survivor to message you asking how you stay positive in a world that tries to silence you, what would you tell them and why?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, like I said, I truly believe survivors are the most powerful and tenacious people that I've ever met. But that doesn't mean there aren't dark days. And I know with my own experience and the experience of our family that to push through the darkness and to push through and heal from your own pain, and then to step into a community that oftentimes, yeah, silences or diminishes or doesn't believe you. That is so painful. And then to see it happen to other people around us at such, you know, even at so such high stakes. And I think the reality is we have to dig into our own why and our own experiences to say, it was not okay when it happened to me, and it is not okay to happen to my sister, to my neighbor, to my children. And we use this term, we say that we have to lead from our scars versus our wounds. And the reason that we say that is because if we lead from the wounds that we have, we will bleed on people who didn't cut us, right? And it's this
Oof.
idea of we have to heal first. And the healing is the hard work because there are deep, deep wounds for us survivors who experience so much pain, emotional, mental, physical. And in order to step up and say, I want to help the next person, we have to do the healing work of ourselves. And it's only once we are doing the healing work and we have more scars versus the wounds that we have, that we can then rise above and to say, it's time for me to step up for the next person now, right? And it's never, you're never fully healed. So it's not fair to say, like, once you're fully healed, then you can help someone. Like, that's silly. But there does have to be that deep inner work because otherwise, we sometimes harm more than we help if we are in pain. And it's not for not wanting to help, right? But going deeper into our own healing to be able to step up. And then I use this term discipline of hope. And to me, right now, and in there's so many times in the world where having hope is just, it's not like accessible sometimes, just like to feel hope, right? But there's a discipline of hope to really truly believe that things can get better and to look at history and to see that history has shown us over and over that things get really dark, but that our light shines brighter in the darkness. And that all of our flashlights together make very big, you know, spotlights on the work that needs to be done, the stories that need to be heard, and the community that needs to be built around healing and around safety. And so I say, do the inner work, do that healing work, the really, really hard stuff. And then link arms with the fellow flashlights around you with that discipline of hope to see that things were dark before, they got better for you, and they can get better for your sister and your neighbor if you are willing to step up and say, hey, just so you know, I've got a flashlight for you, okay? And I use that flashlight analogy because we actually had a client who was trafficked, who was experiencing some just extreme trauma. And one of our therapists actually said to her something that was so powerful. She said, I know it's dark where you are right now. I know it's hard to see any light. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step into the dark with you and bring a flashlight. And I will shine that flashlight until you have one of your own. And that, to me, is how we keep moving and how we keep stepping forward in this movement.
Absolutely. Joy, thank you so much for coming on the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. I am a raging super fan of you. And you know that. And I tell you that a lot. And I legitimately mean it. And I don't give that compliment out to a lot of people because I know a lot of people. I work with a lot of people. And I see a lot of people on a daily basis. I'm on Zoom calls for hours on end, and but I always look to your social media and look at SOS Cosmetics and Joy for Envy, and I'm just in awe, and I cannot wait to see your future. And you have an open invite anytime that you want to come on the podcast, anytime you want to collaborate, you already know that there's an open invite.
Thank you
And while we don't endorse candidates, I can come pretty damn close to it
so
because I will tell you that. And you're not to anybody out there, please take a listen to not only just this podcast, but also look into SOS Cosmetics, which, by the way, we have a coupon code. If you go to
Woohoo!
SOS Cosmetics and use the code RAJM, you get 10% off of a purchase of SOS Cosmetics.
Yeah.
So, Joy, thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else you would like to tell anybody right now?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. And I think like this space to continue working together is the hope, right? Is the hope and the joy that we need. So thank you for the opportunity. If anyone's listening that wants to connect, I would love to connect you with you. Like Zachary said, Joy for Envy, SOS. And by the way, SOS is spelled ESOES. So it's covert spelling to not just SOS. But actually there is one thing I want to say because I like to end every talk around survivors and violence with one statement. And that here's the statement. If you are a survivor, I believe you. Your story matters. You matter. And we built an entire company because that those statements are true. Know that you are not alone. Know that healing is possible, and know that we are standing with you in solidarity in this fight to build a safer world with you, alongside you, and for you.
Thank you for that, seriously, because I think those grounding statements are so incredibly important, and recognizing the need to continue doing this work. Oftentimes we ask ourselves, why the hell did I ever start doing this? Because
Exactly.
it does get debilitating, it gets exhausting, burnout is incredibly real amongst advocates and survivors. But we do it because in reality, there's nobody else to do it for us. And I came to realize that. But then I also realized that there actually are people that are doing this work. They're just silenced because the mainstream media silences voices. And it's just a tumultuous time for, violence against women. And, Kansas City alone has had 19 domestic violence related homicides just this year alone. And one of them was a very prominent teacher. By the name of Brazen Cain, and we posted about her, and people, resonated with it because this is a real life person. This is a real person behind that statistic now. And part of the goal of this podcast is to give a voice to the voiceless and give a voice to those who are no longer here to share their stories or those stories that don't reach the headlines.
Yeah,
And that's always
absolutely.
been my main mission. Rise Above Justice movements to empower others to get involved, say something. If you see something, say something. There's always somebody, behind our account to listen or that will listen. I'm not a trained therapist, but I can connect people to resources or they can message you. And, you know hundreds of thousands of people just like I do. But Joy, I love you. And I am so incredibly honored to be in this space with you. And we will connect again very soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. Feelings mutual. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Have a good day, Joy. Thank you.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.